old, amen. God is good, and He is greatly to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Certainly this is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. Certainly again, we thank God for the presence of the AKA Incorporated Sorority. Amen. Sister President, our very own Sister Kirkland, who orchestrated your presence here today. Listen, your presence is pleasant and your spirit is generous, and we thank you for choosing New Bethlehem to worship the Lord and to receive word. Come on, bless the Lord. Amen. Now, I've been hearing something all week, last week, and I was trying to see what it meant. First and finest. Does that have something to do with you all? Amen. Happy Founders Day to you. And again, thank you for your presence. We have some members of our church who are part of the sorority. I want you to stand. Sister Redmond, Sister Kirkland, Sister Dear Sister Mary. Amen. Amen. Listen, y'all make that side look real good. Y'all come every Sunday. Come on, give them a hand. Bless God for their presence. Amen. Amen. Certainly to our ladies, women of our church who have devoted us, my wife, along with minister wives, deacon and trustee wives, Pastor Meredith Walker wife, we thank you for your spirit. Thank you for posturing us for praise and partaking of the word of God. Certainly to the deacons and trustees, to these pastors and preachers. I say pastor because Pastor Meredith Walker, and along with the ministers, Reverend McCoy, Reverend Mims, and Reverend Woods. Certainly to this choir that have sang so melodiously, just us in song, musicians that have played so skillfully, ushers that have set us in order, media ministry who give us outreach from this place. Let me say to all of you, it's good for us to be alive.
Amen.
Amen. Let me suggest that again. It's good for us to be alive. Let me say that again. It's good for us to be alive. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Bless His name. Bless His name. Bless His name. It could have been another way, but the Lord saw fit to bless us with life. Bless us with this day. Bless us in many ways far beyond our prayers, far beyond our thoughts. Operating under God's authority, a church operating under God's authority. That's what the Lord gave us this year for a theme. He wants us to understand that we have all of heaven, the power of heaven on our side. That you don't have to be, and you shouldn't be, a wimpy Christian. You know how some people bend the back, compromise, because they don't understand that they have all of heaven's power on their side. Listen, you don't have to just take it from the devil. This is a fight. You don't have to just take the punches. You can give some. And we already know the outcome because Jesus Christ conquered Satan on Calvary. So we are not working for or laboring and fighting for victory. We are working and fighting from victory. Indulge me, if you will, with Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I want to read just three verses, 5, 6, and 7. And you know the narrative, you know the story, you know the plot. For the sake of time, let me just read verses 5, 6, and 7. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
It reads this way, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. It's not yours without condition. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Amen. You may be seated. Operating under the power and authority of God. Brothers and sisters, the Lord gives the church permission and power to operate in the earth as He intends. In other words, the church has permission to use God's power to operate kingdom principles and overcome the devil. We are told in Scripture that the church has the permission and power to carry out Christ's commands, His commission with respect of His mission. In other words, the church has power and permission from God to operate in the earth. The church will be opposed and tempted by Satan, but Satan cannot win. He can't win. The authority of Satan cannot prevail over the church, the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He did not say that the gates of hell would not come against it. He says that the gates of hell shall not prevail. He's coming. I don't care how happy you are, how holy you are, He's coming. Regardless of how good you are, how respected you are, the devil is coming. But he cannot prevail because the Lord has given the church permission and power to operate in the earth. It is apparent in the text before us that Satan has no respect to person when it comes to tempting. If Satan tempted Jesus, he will tempt you and I. He will tempt us as individuals, and he will tempt us as a church. But here in the text, Jesus shows the church in a very practical way how to triumph, how to defeat, how to overpower Satan when he comes. The text says that Jesus, after being baptized, after hearing the great announcement of his Father that trembled the earth, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, he was led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. right after his baptism in the Jordan River, right after he heard the voice of his father give his approval, right after he got out of the water, he was led into the wilderness right after the spiritual high feel and affirmation. Jesus, full of the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Understand from the text that Jesus was not led up in the wilderness because he was experiencing a low in ministry. He was led up in the wilderness because he was experiencing a high in ministry. Brothers and sisters, high periods, high moments in your life and ministry. Spiritual battles do not only take place or happen when you are experiencing a low. Spiritual battles can also occur when the church or when you are experiencing a high moment in ministry, a high moment in your life. Sometimes it happens after a celebratory occasion, after you have accomplished and achieved. Here comes Satan knocking at your door. He doesn't wait until you get leveled back out. I'm preaching, Ben, y'all saying amen. He'll come to you right after a high moment. Just think about it. I can call Elijah to the stand. And Elijah would testify that after he defeated the 400 prophets of Baal and the 450 prophets of Asherah, he faced a challenge in his life like never before. That he was on a high when he defeated, when God answered by fire. But shortly after he received that high, after he experienced that high, Jezebel put a hit out on his life. Satan will come and tempt you as you are experiencing lows and highs. He has no respect to person. He has no respect to period. He's coming. Y'all help me preach it this morning. Look at somebody and tell them he's coming. If you haven't been tempted already, get ready. He's coming. Matter of fact, if you've been tempting and you are not tempting now, get ready. Look at somebody and say, he's coming. He's coming. He tempted Jesus. How did he tempt Jesus? Well, he tempted Jesus by way of appetite, ambition, and presumption. He tempted him. He appealed to his humanity with a threat of proving himself to be the Son of God. If you be. You done heard that before. If you're a Christian. If you're saved. He says, if you be the Son of God. You're hungry. Why don't you just turn this stone. You know, stones at that time looked like baked rock. And as he looked at the stone, it looked like a fresh baked loaf of bread. He says, don't just look at it. Why don't you use your heavenly powers to turn the stone into bread? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, you can do without physical bread, but you can't do without God's bread. Second temptation is where we are. That he takes him to a high mountain. And panoramically, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, I will give you the power of the kingdoms if you worship me. Kingdoms. Bring me to my first point. The question is, who has the right to reign? Who has the right to reign? Who has the right to rule earth? And we know from Scripture that God rules earth, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. However, on earth is the kingdom of Satan, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of this world. So you have kingdoms existing at the same time that Satan's kingdom is the sphere of Satan's reign. And the Lord Jesus Christ once called Satan the prince of this world. This reveals that Satan not only has a kingdom, but he also reigns in his kingdom. Moreover, within his kingdom, Satan has messengers of various ranks, all of which were angels who followed him in rebelling against God. Paul says that Satan's kingdom consists of principalities and powers and rulers and dominions and spiritual hosts of wickedness of the air. Satan being the head. Notice Satan said to Jesus in verse 6, all of this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. He claimed to have a right to rule all kingdoms of the world. He says, I give it to you. You know, you have to be careful when you hung up on earthly power. You have to be careful when you hung up on prestige, prominence, and power. Because Satan, he promises to give power if you would turn from God and turn to him in worship. Who has the right to rule? Well, we know ultimately God is at rule. God is at charge. He's in charge. He's on his throne and he cannot be dethroned. He's above all and all is beneath him. He's sovereign. God is God all alone. God doesn't have to ask permission to be God. God is God. And at the snap of a finger or at the whisper of a word, God controls and orchestrates the affairs of man. Listen, you can't get caught up on the bluffing of Satan. You know, Satan will tell you a whole lot of good nothing. Y'all come on in the house. A whole lot of good nothing, a whole lot of what you want to hear to get your attention from, your attention from being on God, to turn your attention on Him. His promises are false and empty. Who has the right to rule? Satan claims authority to implement his order and to cause the carrying out of his will. Who has the right to rule? God created man and put man over his creation. And there's a word in Genesis which is dominion, which means to manage. So God has given his authority and power to those he have placed over his creation to rule. Listen, God has given you power. God has given you power. He's given you power. And you need to take that power and dominate, manage what God has put under you. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. What happened at the first, in the beginning, is happening again. That God gave dominion, and Satan comes slithering into your life, and you give ear to him. And the power God gave you, you hand that over to him. And he's using that power to whip you, to wreak all kinds of havoc in your life, in your relationships, in your friendships, in your finances, because you gave ear to him and you heeded. But it's not too late. It's not too late. God can restore you unto dominion. Who has the right to rule? God, he reigns and rules, and he gives his people power to reign and rule. Satan's requirement is the same requirement God gives. You say, what? Satan wants worship. God wants worship. What Satan is doing is trying to deter your worship from God. To him, he says, if you bow. If you worship me. Satan speaks through people. You have to watch it because you're trying to get an advancement on your job. And Satan can speak through people. If you worship me. You have to watch it. No, you don't have the credit to get that house or car. Uh-huh. And Satan said, if you worship me, I'll turn things in your favor.
That's right.
You have to watch it. Children in trouble, you don't have money for a lawyer. And he You get to talking with you. He says, you worship me. I'll make sure you have what you need. And then he goes to attach to that. One time won't hurt you. You know that one time. That one time that has caused a lifetime of regret. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That one time. That one time that makes you hang your head in shame for the rest of your days. That one time. One time won't hurt. Matter of fact, we're alone and nobody know. If you do it, I won't say nothing. I won't tell nobody. If you worship me, if you act against God, it's just between me and you. And I promise you, you'll have everything you need. The problem of it is this. The pleasures of the world don't last long. And so he came to Jesus and he said, eat the bread. Jesus says, no, I won't eat the bread, man. I'm on a spiritual fast. And I'm building, you know, myself spiritually. I don't need to eat. And he says, well, why don't you just go on bow? And I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. He says, well, you know, I'm not to worship anybody but God. And if I worship God, being that God owns the earth and everything in it and everybody in it, you know, it's already mine. And I don't need an abbreviated version of what I already got. I don't need an abbreviated version of what I already have. I've got it all. Is there anybody here who can say like the Lord, in the Lord God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't have an abbreviated version of what I need. I've got it all. I'm finished. He refused the proposal of Satan. Jesus said, get thee behind me. For it's written. It's right there where I wanted to get you. It's written. Let me tell you what Satan is not moved by. He's not moved by your tears. Let me tell you something else he's not moved by. He's not moved by your feelings and your emotions. He's not moved by your finances. He's not moved by your friends. If you don't know it's written, you're going to be whipped all over the place by Satan, because the only thing that will repel Satan in your life and bag him out of your life is the Word of God. Is there anybody here who knows that the Word of God is powerful? It's powerful than a two-edged sword. It cuts coming and going. It's soft as a rock, as soft as water, but it can penetrate a rock. The Word of God, it works. And when Satan comes into your life, you need to use what thus says the Lord. You need to tell them that God's word is a weapon. It's a weapon of offense. It cuts as you throw the word. It pierces as you throw the word. It destroys as you throw the word. It demolishes. It tear down the kingdom of Satan. I'm trying to tell you that you need the word. You need to eat the word. You need to drink the word. You need to sleep the word. You need to wake up and look at the word. Because in the word of God, we are assured victory. He says, no weapon formed against us is able to prosper. Thank God for the word. The word says that our greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Thank God for the word. The word says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. High five somebody and tell them, thank God for the word. The word tells us that we win in Jesus Christ. That Jesus, he crushed the head of Satan on the cross of Calvary. While they were nailing his hand, they were hitting Satan upside the head. Because Calvary is not a picture of defeat, it's a picture of victory. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God that Jesus went to the hill called Calvary and submitted himself to the will of his Father. Is there anybody know he died on Calvary? If you know he died, why don't you get up on your feet and high five somebody and tell them he died on Calvary. But that's not the end of the story. He borrowed a grave, and if he borrowed the grave, he had to give it back. Sunday morning, he got out of the grave and handed it back and said, all power, heaven and earth, in my hand. Let me ask you my question, then I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah, 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 yeah.
The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come receive the salvation of the Lord. While the blood is running warm in your veins.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Come on, get in his kingdom. Get in the kingdom of God, which is against the kingdom of darkness, kingdom of this world, kingdom of Satan. We don't have to bow. We don't have to worship the devil to get where we think we need to be. We can simply stay true, stay in obedience, stay submitted to the word of God. And God will work on your behalf. Come on, give the Lord your life. Secondly, if you're here and you're backslidden, come on, the Lord is married to you. He wants to restore. He wants to bless. Come on. Thirdly, if you're here, need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart as a faith family. Come on. Come on. Come on. We receive you by letter. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Let the church. Come on, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here, come on. Salvation, restoration. Family of faith, come on. Say. Come on, let the church say amen. God has spoken. Come on, the doors. Ladder, Christian Center, Kennedy for Baptism. Come on. Come on, let the church. Church, and certainly we're happy to help you. That means you have already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart as Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you want to be with us as a faith family. Amen. We ask of you to be a part of our orientation. Four classes taught during the Sunday school hour, 9:20 to about 10:15, somewhere in 10:10. We'd love for you to be a part of that. And afterwards, we want you to be a part of our Sunday school, which is foundational for faith and for Christian living. Amen. Will you do that? Amen. God bless you. Lord, we thank you for Sister Odin. Thank you for sending her back our way. Bless her in her life and living. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Go with Sister. All hearts and minds clear. Now, after service, Sister AKAs, I want y'all to take a picture with me. If I try to tell folk that y'all were here, they may not believe me. But thank you again for your presence. And I want us to come along down front after the service. All hearts and minds clear. Listen, I know I see Sister Harriet's family. Sisters and brothers, y'all wave your hand. Amen. So glad to see you. Your presence here means so much to us, and we are praying for you, and we love you dearly. Amen. I said of Stella, but you know, all of them are tough as leather. Amen. They can take a hit and keep on ticking. Amen. And that's the way to do it for the Lord. He's pleased with you. He's pleased with your living. All hearts and minds clear. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say amen. Amen. Be blessed today.